Don't worry, let's learn. I wanted to start out with a quick vort from the Parsha on Tefillah. These Parshas that we're learning have so many rich ideas. There are actually three different places in yesterday's Parsha where we find the concept of Tefillah. Of course, Avram very famously davening for Sodom, which is an unsuccessful Tefillah of sorts. Avram davens for Avimelech, that he should be healed after he abducts Sarah. That is a successful Tefillah. And then the third one that I just want to touch on very briefly is after Yitzchak is born. Shortly thereafter, Sarah banishes Hagar and Yishmael, and they're wandering their way through the desert. And the Torah describes that they ran out of water. So Hagar couldn't stand or tolerate to see her son dying of thirst, so she literally throws the child under one of the trees, and she goes to sit far away. Ki amra al ereb mosayolet. I don't want to see my son's death. And Vatisa es kola vatefk, and she lifts up her voice, which is a sign of tefillah of sorts, of a cry, and then she cries. Vayishma Elokim es kol hanar, and Hashem hears the voice of who we're not told was crying or davening. We're just told that she lifts up her voice and cries, and Hashem hears the voice of the child, and a malach calls out to Hagar and says, here, you'll find some water, and saves the child. Rashi quotes that the Gemara derives from here that Hashem listens. The tefillah of a person for themselves is more powerful than the tefillah for a person davening for someone else. So that the child davening for himself, his voice was heard or listened to faster or quicker than the voice of someone else. That's what the Gemara derives from here, and you see that rule. Earlier in the Parsha, we learned the rule when Avram davens for Avimelech, and then Sarah is healed. We learned that when you daven for someone else, your tefillah, and you need the same thing, you'll also be answered first. We have all of these rules about tefillah and how it works, but this one is, a person for themselves is answered before when you daven for someone else. The Maral asks a question. The Gemara has a rule of Ein Adam, that a person cannot extract himself from jail. They take a certain phrase, and the Gemara expresses it as follows. The Gemara records that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai had taken ill. And right before he had taken ill, the Gemara records that he went to visit someone else who had been taken ill. And when Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai had visited prior someone else who had taken ill, he healed him. Like, where's the whole thing? He held his hand, and he had some ability to invest him with strength and was able to heal him. Very nice. The Gemara then says, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, after healing one of his colleagues, he took ill. And his colleague, Rabbi Hananya, came and did the same thing to him. So it held his hand, invested him with some type of strength, and Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was healed. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai knows this trick. He did it to one of his colleagues. Why did he need Rabbi Hananya to come and do it to him? Couldn't he have done it himself? Where it says, no, because a person can't extract himself from jail. If you're in jail, you need someone else to break you out. You're stuck. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, he was ill. He could help someone else when he was found, but he couldn't do it himself. So the Maral says, wait a minute. The Gemara just says that whose tefillah is answered first? Person for himself. But what happened to this rule of you need someone else to help you get out of a situation? So the Maral says, when a person davens, that's not extracting yourself from jail. That's asking the Ribono Shel Olam to do that.
To extract you.
Correct. So that is exactly that rule. You think it's you. All you're doing is requesting and bringing in that third party, 100%. Just like you can't heal yourself, I need someone else. When a person davens, in essence, they're saying, Ribono Shel Olam, you take care of this for me. And therefore that fits exactly. It's not a violation of that rule that a person can't extract himself because they're bringing in someone else. Okay, you'll keep that in mind because we're going to get back to that as we finish today's. So everybody get a sheet. Okay, quick summary of what we did last week, what we left off. We left off with a problem. The problem that Revolbe expressed in Tefillah, we addressed even before we started, the difficulties with davening, it's repetitive, we don't know the words, we feel like we're talking to a wall. Chazal asked us to daven in a meaningful way, surrounded by our friends. Socially, that's difficult. We discuss all the challenges of davening. And then Revolbe added two more as we started. Number one, he said that conceptually, what is Tefillah? Is it, does Hashem need something from us? That doesn't make any sense. That he needs our avodah, that can't be. And it can't be, he's on the other end, that we're saying, you made me sick, and I don't like that idea, so change it. Well, how could it be that I have the right to demand or request whatever it was that in the divine scheme of things was dictated for me right now? I don't like it. I want it different. And that doesn't sound like it should make sense either. So what then are we doing when we daven? It can't be that he needs me, and it can't be that I'm in control of deciding what I want. So what then are we doing? I want to share the paragraph that we're going to read. The third paragraph is one of the most fundamental ideas on the concept of tefillah. And he writes as follows. We'll read it and translate it. Ella, this is what it, this is what we're just, what we're accomplishing through tefillah. Lo lanu Hashem, lo lanu, as we say in the pasuk in Hallel from Tehillim. Not for us, Hashem. Not for us. Ki lishimcha tanu kavod. Whenever we ask for something and we're saying we need this, not because I need this, but because your name will be greater when I get whatever it is that I need. This, on a Klal Yisrael level, this is very obvious. When we daven on behalf of Klal Yisrael, it's because everybody looks to the Jews and we represent you. So you need to do good things to us. We need to be in a position of strength and health and power because, not for me, because I represent you. And therefore, this has to be for you. So he says, in it, we're going to take off that idea, es hashlemus. Listen to this line. Es hashlemus shelanu anachnu mivakshim, lo es hatzlochasenu. This is a powerful, powerful phrase. Our shlemus, our completion, our wholeness as Jews, as human beings, is what we're being mivakish. What are we requesting through our tefillah? Rebbeinu Shel Olam, I want to be shalem. I want to be a shalem in my avoda to you, not my hatzlocha. This is such a shift in what it is that we're doing. We think, as we begin to feel as young children, and then we sometimes move along, but we don't always necessarily shift our thinking from the children that we start, that the idea of tefillah is, I need a couple of extra dollars. I need a little bit of help. All the things that we need, which we do need. And that the goal, the entire purpose of tefillah, is my hatzlacha. I should be successful in whatever it is in life that I want hatzlacha in. It's off a notch. It's not that I'm davening for my hatzlacha in as much as I'm davening for my shlemus, my completion, my wholeness, and my avoda. What that will look like, so we have certain ideas of what we would like it to look like. All of us want certain things. But really what I'm after is that I should be shalem in my complete service, my understanding of the world, and what I'm doing here in this world. So we can make requests as to what we think that would look like. But what I'm really at is to be shalom. Now he's going to take a look, and we'll see in a moment how this is going to manifest itself. We're going to come back to the line, because it's such a beautiful line. V'yesod ha-shleimus hi ha-emuna. What is the foundation of a Jew who is shalom? What does it look like when a Jew lives his life? V'shleimus emuna. He lives his life in the world that the Ribbono Shel Olam created, with knowledge that the Ribbono Shel Olam is here and a part of our world. You're familiar, I'm sure, the Gemara has I forget exactly if it's in Makos. The Gemara says that the Nevi'im, various Nevi'im came and condensed Torah, the 613, to its primary goals. What is the most fundamental concept out of all of Torah? The final line in that Gemara, is Chabakuk came and said, all of Torah is Tzadik be'emunaso yichyeh. That a Tzadik lives in his emunah. You condense all of Torah into one phrase of three words. All of Torah is living with emuna. That is the concept, the fundamental. Let's look at how he expresses this. Halo ha'emuna shelanu, eina emuna sheyesh Hashem. We're not talking about an emuna that there is a God, that there is a creator. Zos anachnu yodim b'yediyah gemura. If you're reading this, you're already there. We're not working on the idea that there is a creator. We know that there is a creator. What are we talking about when we talk about emuna and that our tefillah is trying to get us there a little bit more every day? Emuna shelanu hi vado'os kazos b'leiv b'noichachos habore v'hashkechoso. That we're trying to get to a point that our emuna is so embedded in our hearts, in his hashkacha, in his directing and controlling the world, ad shiroim es ha'olam, yes, kol me'ura, every event, be'inayim shel emuna. That we see events with the eyes of emuna, that Hashem is in the world in which we are living. That he exists, yes. That he's part of my life and the world around me, that takes a little bit more of a task. Because, as he's going to write, we are so primed, particularly in the world that we live in, to see a natural order to things, a cause and effect. We understand that. And it's true to a very large degree. The emunah that we're talking about is seeing the ratzon Hashem, the will of Hashem, manifesting itself in the world in which we live. Haderech, lehagia, lechios, zos b'emunah. How does a person get to that? Where they live with emunah. Not just it's a concept. How does a person get to the point to live with emunah? Revolba suggests, he rak atzfila. The idea of davening every day, the 19 brachas we say in Shmona Esrei, the things that we ask for, the understanding that when we say, atachonei l'adam das, my wisdom, my intelligence, you're the one who gave it to me. Rifa'enu Hashem v'nei rafe, barech aleinu. All of the brachas that we go through, in which a Jew establishes and says to himself, the things that I have and the things that I want come from you. The way, the derech, to live emuna is only through tefillah. Ba, through it, anu mislamdim lifnos el HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chol hachaser lanu. We learn to turn towards Hashem in everything that is missing, that we're lacking, that we want. Ki ein mishu acher ba'olam shiyuchol l'malos. No one else can fill the things that we need. Zuhi hargosha daka kizos. This sophisticated thought process, feeling that we need to live with, that we work on three times a day. So it's repetitive. I ask for the same things over and over again. Yes, exactly. That's exactly right. It's repetitive. We ask for the same things because, and this is, you know, if you think about our own life experiences, we do this all the time. There's a certain need that we have. This is how we live as human beings in the modern world in which we live in. And whatever it is take an example, either be an example of health or an example of business, whatever the case may be. In both of them, it's the same. So I need something. So you say, I know, I have a friend. I have a guy. I have a doctor. I have a businessman who can help hook me up and set me up with something. Great. So I don't need to daven right now. I'm good. I have a guy who can take care of this. I have a doctor. You go to the doctor, you go to the friend, and he sets you up with an interview, and he sets you up with the doctor's appointment, like everything is good. And you go there, and then that person's like, I can't help you. So now I'm stuck. And then you're asking around, and someone says, no, I have one more. Okay, great. Okay, right. And then you go to that. And then at some point, I don't have anything left. I don't know who to go to. I don't have my guy. I don't have... Then what do we start... Oh, then you see them in shul, now they're davening, because there's nobody left. They don't know what to do. They're literally, so that's a natural thing. Like, I don't need you, I'm good. I can take care of this on my own. Until I can't. The trick is to live with, you know the famous joke, I will say this 100 times because it's my favorite, of the guy who has a big business meeting in the city. At a certain time, and like he feels his whole career has led him to this point, and like everything rests on getting there. And he gets there early, but he can't find a parking spot. He can't find one. He's like driving around, and he can't find it. It's getting late, and he's beginning to sweat. He's like, I can't be late to this meeting, and this is everything. And he's sitting at a red light, and finally he says, Ribono Shalom, I need this parking spot. I need to get in. Everything rests on this. If you send me a parking spot, I promise I'm taking a neder right now. I will come to Shacharis with a minion for the rest of my life. And the words literally come out of his mouth. The light turns green and the car right in front of the next street pulls out of the spot. He says, never mind, I found one. But that's how we live. Like, I'm good. If I don't need you, like, leave me alone. I don't need to engage in anything because I'm okay. It's only when I feel I have nothing left. And it's a very natural thing. This is going to sound harsh, because, and I don't mean it that way, but there's a lot of truth to it. When the Jewish philosophers and theologians talk about suffering, why is there so much suffering in the world? It's a big question, and I don't want to gloss it over because it's so complicated and it's so painful and so difficult for all of us because everybody has tzaras. But in so many ways, it's because we don't know how to turn to Hashem otherwise. We don't. We're bad at it. Someone once said to me, after one of the, this is years ago already, something happened in Eretz Yisrael, some bombing, another horrible tragedy, and like everybody came to shul to say Tehillim, and it was like this beautiful moment of everybody together. I think I was in Atlanta, that was like years ago, and someone said to me on the way out, like, why does Hashem keep sending these horrible things to bring us together like this? Because we don't know how to do it otherwise. We don't. We come together. Otherwise, we're not good at it. So we have external circumstances. I don't mean to make it superficial and simple. It's much more complicated than that.
We come together.
But we come together. But never, like, there's like, we are physically in the same space and we're in four different minyanim. And we're coming. We come together in times of difficulty, as families, as communities, as a Jewish people. So he's like, why do we need all these things? I don't know why we need them, but we do. Now, so sometimes that's on a personal level too. The Ribbono Shel Olam is mis'avel tefilasan. He desires our tefillah. That doesn't have to be that way. It's just that we're...
He's not mis'avel. He's telling you he's not mis'avel and doesn't need you.
No, he doesn't need our avoda, but there's something about, yeah, that's a whole, we're going to get to this idea of mis'avel tefilasan. I want to finish this, one more paragraph on this idea, because this is a deep idea, it's a powerful idea. Tefilazu, second to last paragraph, there on the first slide, what is it, fourth paragraph down? Tefilazu, he tachlis atzmis. The tefillah is its own ends, meaning, like what we're talking about, you think the point of the tefillah is because you need a job. No. The point of the tefillah is the tefillah. That's the point of it. We use it. I need a job. I need a shidduch for my job. I need help. Yes, it's true. But the tefillah, the tachlis of the tefillah is the tefillah. Ein anachnu miskavnim davka shakadosh baruch hu yimalei bakash aseinu. Listen to this. Again, this is like so powerful. The purpose is, the kavana is not that I need you, Hashem, to fill my need. Anu botchim bo sheyase lanu ma shetov lanu be'emes. When I daven, I believe that Hashem is going to do what's best for me. Yes, I have my own thoughts on this. I think it's best for me to be healthy. I think it's best for me for my children to have shidduchim. I think it's best for me to have good parnasa. Yeah. True. But when I'm davening, my kavana is not that I'm going to dictate to you what it is that I want. My kavana is, you're going to do what's best for me. It is sufficient. I'm asking from him that I should live with the emunah, that you're in control of what happens to me. This tefillah, this idea of my avoda shebelev, the service of my heart, that you can fulfill it. My tefillah is that I should be shalem in my emunah, that you're in control of what's happening to me, not in that I actually get so much what it is that I want. It's such a distinction in that I want these things. Why am I asking them of you? Because I want them. But the goal is, the fact that I'm asking it of you is my recognition that that's where it comes from. That's the goal. And I want it, but I also believe that you're going to give me whatever is best for me. Sometimes I don't like what's best for me. Sometimes I don't want what's best for me. We know life is filled with those situations of, as the famous line goes, sometimes Hashem says, no, I don't want it. But the goal of the tefillah was my emunah, that it's actually in your hands to give me these things. Kach ratza HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is what Hashem wants of us. Ulazeh. He gave us the mitzvah of tefillah, and permitted us to ask of him. What right do we have to ask? The recognition that he has the ability to fulfill it. Will he always fulfill it? No. Just because we want something doesn't mean we always get it. But our ability to ask says, I'm living in a world of emunah that I believe you have the ability to give this to me. That is the unbelievable goal of what it is that we are doing with tefillah. He's going to describe, we'll talk a little bit next week, I want to finish up, how we live in a world where, as that little joke about, we live in a world of siba umisiba, that there are causes and effects. There's a virus, a person gets sick. Where is there room for the Ribbono Shel Olam in the world that we live in? Our avoda of tefillah is inserting the Ribbono, everything that we do, it's in his hands. Will he say yes to everything that we want? Not necessarily, but the fact that I ask him for it says that I believe that that's where the source comes from. That's what happens when I daven for my health and my wealth and everything else that we daven for. My intelligence is a recognition of where that source is, and that is the goal of tefillah. We're davening for my shleimus of my life as a Jew living with emunah. The mechanism, the means through which is the things that we ask for. But the real goal is living in that particular world. Very powerful idea. We'll continue Mirtz Hashem in next week.